Well, I wanted to begin this afternoon fellowship time with a series of perhaps unconventional questions for such a time at a Christian conference. And I want you to respond using your hand, your arm, show of hands. So let's begin. How many of you check your email at least once a week? Okay. How many of you spend time on the internet at least once a day? How many of you are on the internet right now? Well, stop it, okay? Stop it. Okay, moving on. How many of you are an active Facebook user? You have an account? Okay, you have an account and you use your account. How many of you daily check that account, your wall? How about more than 5 times a day, would you say? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. You guys are shy. Okay. All right. How many of you utilize the direct messaging aspect of Facebook? You contact people directly. Okay. And then how about lastly, how many of you actively tweet, use Twitter? So a little less popular, okay. Still a good amount. Oh, one last thing. How about how many of you have a smartphone with internet connectivity? Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I think none of these stats are all that surprising, but it's good to see it visually. And it wasn't always this way. It wasn't always this way. You know, I can reminisce with Josiah about the dial-up tones of a dial-up modem, right? You remember this? It wasn't always this way. You know, back since 1962 at MIT, there was this concept of a galactic network. And since the earliest writings back then, 50 years have progressed. And today, we are an online generation, right? There is no denying this. There is connectivity like none other today. Well, one stat, you know, stats are stats. That's why I wanted to see the stats in this room. It's kind of more impressive. But one stat that I did recently read, me and Evan were kind of, I don't know, if it kind of astounded, but also kind of chuckling at this stat. And the stat says, today, nearly 40% of Americans spend more time socializing online than they do socializing face-to-face. It's approaching half of today's Americans spend more time socializing online than socializing face-to-face. And 20% say they actually prefer to communicate electronically via social networks or text rather than through the phone or face-to-face in person. It's impressive. Well, with this connectivity, you know, comes a lot of things. And you might ask, what in the world are we talking about? Is this a tech forum? No. Am I going to hit you over the head with the evils of the internet? No. You know, with this connectivity comes a lot. There is the ability to reach more people today, more of your friends than ever before. And of course, there's a wide open door for the influx of all the evils that this world has to offer. So the burden this afternoon, we have just a very short time, and I think you all are going to love this sweet fellowship. The burden is to use the advances of this age the generation we live in, to use them, use all means for the sake of the gospel. We could be like Paul, by all means, I would gain some, I would save some. So this fellowship is a gospel fellowship, an internet gospel fellowship. And one other portion of the Old Testament that came back to me that I doubt you've heard, I wanted to share with you just in a minute or two. And it's you have heard the account. The account is the bringing together of Isaac and Rebekah. Y'all remember that story? Well, in the Old Testament, Isaac typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham offered or was fully willing to offer his son Isaac at Mount Moriah. Similarly, our Father God offered his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, actually at the same place. He bore the cross to Mount Moriah. Isaac typifies Christ, all right? But in Genesis 24, Abraham commissions, in his old age, his servant to go to find a wife for Isaac. And this servant goes. He finds none other than Rebekah. And here it is. Here's my underline of this story that you have heard before. Rebekah mounts a camel. Okay? My burden is the camel. Rebekah mounts the camel, follows that servant, and is led to Isaac. Isaac typifies who? Well, you know what? According to Leviticus 11, a camel is an unclean animal. Rebekah mounted something considered in the Old Testament as unclean, yet she was brought to Isaac, who typifies Christ. You know what the internet is today? It's a dirty camel. The internet, we can all attest, is an unclean place. But at the same time, it is useful. It is useful to bring men to Christ. Amen. Today, I hope in your consideration, at least somewhat, the internet to you can become an unclean camel that leads others. All the connectivity, all the relationships formed, All that your posts proclaim, all that your tweets proclaim, would lead men to Christ. So I just wanted to hand it over to Evan with this continuation of this burden.
Hallelujah. The internet is a dirty camel, but yet it can be used to bring man to Christ. Now, one more time, can you raise your hands, those who have a Facebook profile? It's quite a few. Okay. Now, we felt to focus primarily on Facebook because it is, I think of all the social networking platforms, it's probably the one that is the most used. Now, my experience is such, and you know, I'm guessing yours is probably the same. When you meet someone, many times the first way you can find something about them, find some information about them, or make an initial impression of who they are, is not actually by speaking to them face to face, but it's by looking them up on Facebook. Right? Maybe you have you ever had this situation where you have their first name, but you don't have their last name? Oh, what are you going to do? Maybe you have their email. Oh, you have their email. Good. Oh, but then Facebook changed it where everybody has a Facebook email. Oh, no. How are you going to find them? Well, my point is, many times our experience is that the first point of contact is someone's Facebook profile. And conversely, someone else's first impression of us maybe our Facebook profile. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. If someone were to look at your Facebook profile, someone who has never met you, someone who has never had any interaction with you or heard anything about you, but they look you up, my question is, would they find Christ? Would they find out and learn that you are one who loves the Lord Jesus? Would they find out that you are one who lives for the building of His dwelling place? One whose heart matches His heart? Well, you don't have to answer. But that's my point. Our Facebook profile many times is, our Facebook profile should also express the one whom we love. When we speak to people, when we meet people, and we're burdened that they would know something of the Lord, or at least know that we love the Lord, why would we not be the same on Facebook? Do you see my point? Where almost half of the social interactions, people prefer to do them online. Now, there are many benefits so again, we're talking about sharing with others that we love the Lord, sharing with others that we're Christians, sharing with others that we care for God's heart's desire on Facebook. Kind of a strange topic. But today, posting something on your wall is, in a sense, the equivalent of a gospel tract. Wouldn't you say? You hand people gospel tracts? Well, in the same way, posting something on your wall, those who are friends with you would see it. Now, I'd like to ask you one more question to raise your hands, please. Is there anyone in this room who has a Facebook profile and who every single one of your friends that you are friends with on Facebook is a believer? Is there any such person? Okay. Well, then this fellowship is very relevant. We all have friends. Those who we're friends on Facebook with who are not believers. And thus it is necessary that Facebook would be utilized for the gospel, to bring men to Christ. Now, again, I was saying there are many benefits, and a post today is very much just like a gospel tract. Now, in what ways? Well, first of all, there's a very low chance of getting rejected. Does anybody like to be rejected? I don't. Right? When we post on Facebook, typically, there's not much of a rejection. Maybe some would read it, but not have much response. That's okay. But chances are they wouldn't reject us. Second of all, we might not be very good at speaking. We may not be very charming, very eloquent. We may stumble over words, but yet we can post a verse. Yet we can spend a little bit of time to write down our enjoyment of the Lord. And what's presented is something not that's stumbling over words, but rather what is presented is something that is very well put, very succinct, and very full of life. This is another one of the benefits of posting our enjoyment on Facebook. Also, in a sense, it's somewhat timeless. And what I mean by that is, maybe someone read something. They read one or two lines of something that you enjoyed and they were intrigued, but they didn't have time to read the rest of it. Well, maybe that evening the Lord touches them. Or what was it that they said? I was interested. They can go back. They can go to your page. And they can read it for themselves. You see my point? It's not limited to, I don't have time to talk right now. Oh, too bad. You know? They can check later. That's another one of the benefits of posting on Facebook, our enjoyment of the Lord. I think to some degree there is still a lot of doubt in this room, because maybe we haven't experienced some of our friends coming to the Lord through our posts of our enjoyment. So we wanted to share two testimonies of ones who had such an experience to encourage us all. Maybe if we could. So the first brother, come on up. Our brother Luis, he'll share something from the perspective of posting, sending out the word, And then our sister Mari here, she'll share something on the receiving side to encourage us all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, my name is Luis, OCC, second year. I just love the Lord, and I just cannot contain myself. I have to put it everywhere, you know, let everyone know I'm a believer, and I love Christ. So, you know, that this past time, I had a burden that I needed to save, you know, save some souls, and I just, something was stirring in me, and I just, you know, I was praying, oh, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do, because I don't know how to, like, just go up to someone and just be like, oh, hey, you want to know about God kind of thing, because it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, for me, I'm not the type of person that could do that. So I was just praying to the Lord, you know, oh, just put someone in my life that I can just reach out to or something, you know. Yeah. So it's funny, like, I prayed that night, and maybe, like, a couple hours later, like, I happened to wake up, like, at 4 or 5 in the morning, and I had a message from a friend from high school whom I never really talked to in high school, but, you know, I knew of her. And she's like, oh, my God, Luis, you know, your love for the Lord is so inspiring, you know. Like, you know, I've been trying to, you know, get back with the Lord, and, you know, your post has been inspired to me, you know. I was just like, wow, you know, I didn't even know you were a believer. And she's like, can you teach me? I want to know more about God, you know. Your way is just, like, so inspiring and stuff. I was like, wow, you know, I'd be more than happy to. And, you know, I'm following up with her and hear messaging here and there. And I kind of stopped talking for a little bit, and I messaged her again because I was like, oh, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm a little sad kind of thing. And I was like, why are you sad? And she's like, well, I just don't know. I feel like I'm not going anywhere in life. I was just like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe the Lord, you mean, you get to contact the Lord again. And then she's like, well, I don't know. And then she was just telling me all her problems and stuff. And I was like, well, I think it's Satan that's trying to tempt you, you know, kind of thing. And then I was just like, I don't even know what I said, to be honest with you. But I was just like pouring out Christ to her. Amen. And then she's just like, wow, you know, you just always know what to say to me, like, to get me back into Christ. And I'm just like, hey, it's not me. It's the Lord who's speaking through me, right, you know, because I don't even know what I'm saying. It's the Lord is speaking through me, you know what I'm saying? So, and then I have another friend who reached out to me. This guy's like a pretty boy kind of guy. He's a ladies guy. And I was like, you know, he reaches out. I posted something, and then he reaches out. He messages me. These are people that don't even like my statuses, you know, they just message me saying they like it. And, yeah. So, you know, he reaches out to me. He's like, dude, you know, you need to be posting more stuff like that. You know, it's so encouraging. There's not that many people our age, you know, especially guys, posting about Christ. You know, it's so encouraging, you know. And I was like, I didn't even know you were a Christian, you know. And I was like, yeah, it's so good. He's like, keep it up. You know, I was like, we'll do, man, we'll do. So, you know, just keep posting.
It's amazing. That's right. So, man, you know, good.
Hi, Saints. My name is Maddie, and I am a third year at UCLA. And I've been meeting with the Saints for about 2 years now, and in the church life. And whenever someone asks me how I got connected with the Saints, I always say Facebook. And I was born in a Christian family, but especially as I grew older, like, I really got distant from the Lord, and I just got really preoccupied with other stuff. And my senior year of high school, the Lord just stirred something in me, and I began pursuing Him a little bit more. And I was saved, or I was baptized the summer before college. And but I didn't know what to do after that. Like, I just felt like, what next? How do I pursue Him? And as I began college, I just felt like, I don't have anyone with whom to pursue the Lord, but one of my friends, fortunately, she liked the Facebook page of Christian students at UCLA, and it showed up on my newsfeed, and I was like, oh, well, I'm a Christian. So I clicked on the page, and then I found out about our weekly Bible studies, and I was like, oh, Lord, I think I should go. And so that's how I was connected with the Saints. And even now, despite my testimony, sometimes I really enjoy, like, sharing verses with others or on Facebook, but sometimes I still have that, like, little voice of doubt in my head, like, should I post this? Like, will anyone even read this? But as I began doubting that, like, I just remembered my own story began with a like.
Right.
So, Yeah, the Lord just, if we just cooperate in the tiniest bit, the Lord operates.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I want to add a little something. We all have a bunch of friends, and they're not for us to be popular, but they're for us to reach out to them and teach the gospel.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, good. So I hope you all are encouraged. As our sister Mari, her experience wasn't even with a comment, but it was just with a like, just clicking the like button, and that's what came up. And that's here. She's meeting with the saints now, going on with the Lord in a solid way for the past 2 years. What an unlikely story. But yet, this is something that can happen if we all are faithful to do whatever we can and to utilize what we have before us today for the gospel. So how is it that we can participate? There's really two main things that I wanted to highlight. How is it that we can participate? It's pretty straightforward. I'm sure many of you are already taking part in sharing your enjoyment. Maybe even from the conference, you've shared a few things. That's wonderful. Well, the first way, as we talked about, is posting online, posting on your wall. Maybe it's you post a verse. Maybe you post a portion from some ministry or something someone said that really touched you. The thing is that people, there are all different kinds of people in the world. Even among your friends who aren't believers, they are all different kinds. And as such, they have all different kinds of needs. The gospel is wonderful because it is so multifaceted. There are so many different ways in which the gospel can reach a person. You just consider, even when there's a message that's being spoken, what did you enjoy? It's probably not the same as what someone else enjoyed. Probably not the same as what a third person enjoyed. Because it is so rich. There are so many different ways that God can reach someone. And for that reason, there is the need that we all would share the particular unique portion of Christ that we all have received. Everything that we've enjoyed is unique. And it is our responsibility to share it. And that's the wonderful thing because it can reach all different kinds of people. Now, many of you have heard of them, Bibles for America. They have put time into producing two different videos, gospel videos. They're very short, and we'll show them in just a minute. And their burden behind these videos was to reach all different kinds of people. As you will see, the two videos are quite different. Of course, they're speaking about the same Lord, but yet the angle, the point, the main point that they bring out is quite different from one another. The first one that we'll see is called the God-shaped vacuum. And this has to do with the eternity that God has placed within all man's heart. This is the emptiness that all man has apart from God coming into them. So if we can show that one, please. Hallelujah. With a video like this, you don't even need to say anything. So this second one, we'll see, is titled Lost and Found. And this one is different. It doesn't target the emptiness within man. It targets the sinfulness within man. Man realizing that he has gone far away from God. And yet there is a sense of being poor, wretched, blind, even being deceived by the riches of the world. And yet coming back to the Father and receiving Him, seeing that His heart towards us is just to love us, to clothe us with the best robe, and to feast with us. How about this? Very touching, huh? Yeah, it's really wonderful. Now, the point of these videos is to be a powerful tool, a very useful tool that we can use to reach out, to let others know, first of all, that we love the Lord, and second of all, that the Lord loves them. And that the Lord wants them to be part of His household. The first video I know is available on BFA's Facebook page. The second one will probably be available shortly for your reference. So like I said, the first item that I wanted to talk about was this matter of posting your enjoyment or sharing these videos on your wall. It's really a wonderful way for the gospel to go out on Facebook, on the internet. The hardest part about the gospel in general is always to make that first contact, is always to open the door for something of the Lord to go out. And Facebook is really a wonderful way to bridge that gap. Maybe it's someone responding, saying that, wow, this is wonderful. I want to hear more. The door's open. That's the hardest part. Hallelujah. The second point, which is the last point that I'll speak right now, for how we can participate is this matter of, no surprise, liking, sharing, or commenting on posts. And there's one thing that I want to point out to you all that you may not have realized, and this was very fresh to me. When you like someone's post, their enjoyment of the Lord, or something else related to the Lord, when you comment on it, or you share it, not only are you saying that you liked it, you enjoyed it, but actually, you are also participating in that person's preaching of the gospel. I know that there are a lot of algorithms in Facebook, and you know, the more likes, or the more shares, or the more comments a post gets, the higher and more frequently it shows up on people's news feeds. So I hope that you all, when you see on Facebook, you know, others sharing their enjoyment of the Lord, if you interact with them, you would also have a realization and a desire within you. I'm not just doing this because I'm enjoying what you're sharing, not just for my own enjoyment, but also because I want to participate in the going out of the gospel. Hallelujah.
You all like those videos?
Those are awesome.
Well, just in the last minutes here before dinner, we want to take a slight turn and let you all know, for those that don't know, and remind those that do know, about an awesome time called the Summer College Training. Amen? What is the Summer College Training? The Summer College Training is a week-long event. This is what, about 2 days if you add the total time. College Training is a week-long, wonderful time held in the Redwood Forests of Northern California. You like that? And of course, the setting is awesome, the setting is beautiful, but the value of this time, I think, cannot really be uttered by myself. I can attest that this was, when I was a high school senior, probably what I would say is the chief reason for a big turning point in my Christian life. At that time, it was held in Oregon, a little harder to get to, so y'all are blessed, it's a little closer. But it was a very, very, very special time in my Christian life. So I'm just so pleased to announce this announcement this afternoon. And actually, the topic this summer will be the Lord's coming. The Lord's second coming. The Lord came once, came and lived as a man. Mark my words, I'll be a prophet. The Lord will come again. The second to last verse in the Bible, I think it's the third time, it's reiterated again and again in Revelation. The Lord says, I come quickly. And I hope that our response can be, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, the topic this weekend is touching the Lord's heart's desire to have a house. The topic 45 minutes ago was the Lord's desire to save men through the gospel. The two are very, very related. God desires that men would be saved, to be added to His house, built up together to be His dwelling place. And when that takes place, the Lord will return. To like on Facebook for the sake of the gospel can bring the Lord back. Well, I wanted to hand it over now to three brothers and sisters. Maybe you can come up now. will just share their experience.
Amen, saints. Hi, my name is Whitney Warren. I'm a second year at OCC. And as I look around this room, I just remember a year ago sitting here for this time, this special fellowship time. And I remember sitting here listening to about the college training. And I just, I thought I had mixed feelings about it. I wasn't, my first thoughts were, I don't know if I want to put my money towards that. I like to do things in the summer. And anyways, but then on the other hand, I just thought, well, I've never been. I don't know. It could be fun. So as the time is approaching to sign up for it, this sister, she was really encouraging me. She said, come on, you have to at least think about it. You have to. And I was like, no, I don't know. I have so many mixed feelings about it. But she just said, okay, it's like, you know how much you enjoy college conferences? It's like that, but a college conference on crack. So when I thought about it like that, I thought, okay, I have to start to consider this. And she said, you know, more than just that, you have to... you really have to take this to the Lord, you know, just consider it before the Lord. So I did, and eventually the Lord touched me to go. And to be honest, I will never, ever regret going to this because it changed my life. And I really saw, just as the brothers were speaking this morning, how the Lord really wants just one house in all of our localities. He's after one church. And so I just had to give the rest of my life to this one house, this one church.
My name is Angel Hiron. I am a freshman at UCLA. And I also was here at the God's Conference last year. It was on a New Testament priesthood. And I really enjoyed the conference. And I remember also that around this time, the special fellowship, they were announcing the college training, and they said it was like twice as long and like super enjoyable, twice as many people. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. You know, it's gonna be twice as better, right? So back then I was a high school senior coming into college my freshman year, and all my teachers were telling me, you know, like in college you got to get straight A's, you got to get involved with like a whole bunch of extracurricular activities, right? So that was sort of like my thought coming in, but there was only one teacher. She was a Christian who she told me, you know, your college years are for the Lord to work in you, right? But I was like, okay, but, you know, you know, I wanted to get straight A's and everything. But, so my ambition, wanting to like get a head start in college, you know, I actually ended up taking summer classes. I signed up for summer classes at Santa Monica College. But the thing is that those summer classes overlap with the college training. And I almost didn't go to the training because of that. So I fellowshiped with a few brothers about what I could do. And I ended up actually emailing the professors ahead of time and asking them if I can miss out a week of class. And, you know, they were like, they gave me a little hard time, you know, but I ended up going. They gave me permission to go, and praise the Lord, I went to the training. And then the training, like Whitney shared, it really changed my perspective on being a Christian. Back then, I was like an early believer. I was a young believer. I was probably about a couple months old of, you know, believing in the Lord. And, you know, I don't know what else to expect, you know, so I came to the training and I was blown away. Like, you know, it was twice as many people, I think, and from all parts of the world, you know, like, you see the universal church, you know, brothers and sisters from all over the world. And I was just in their midst, you know, and I was like, okay, these brothers and sisters are holy for the Lord. Holy for the building of the body, right? And my, like, coming in, I was just thinking about college, you know. They already knew that their college years were for the Lord. And I came into college thinking, you know, it's for my own gain, you know. Like yesterday we were sharing, even a video shared about, like, having, like, a whole bunch of riches and, like, a good job and everything. But I realized, you know, like, the brothers and sisters are holy for the Lord. And I'm not holy for the Lord. This really changed my perspective on my college career, you know. My college career isn't for getting good grades. It's not for getting straight A's in order to get a good degree. Of course, that's the reason why we go to college. But the main focus of being a college student is to pursue the Lord. And one thing that I really enjoyed was even like the lodging arrangements. Like we would I know I was going to UCLA, so I was actually in the same cabin with some UCLA brothers. And it was awesome. It was just so like Christ was there. You just see Christ expressed. And even in our fellowship, I sort of got a foretaste of how I was going to be in college, because I knew I was going to live with some other Christians in the house. So it was like a sweet foretaste of knowing how my future was going to be. Being with Christians, you know, for one week was nothing compared to what it is now. Every day I see the brothers and sisters always calling on the name of the Lord, enjoying the Lord Jesus. And it's been a salvation to me just being with the brothers. And the training really set the groundwork for my college years. It's not always about getting good grades, you know, missing meetings because I have to take a midterm, you know, but put it like at least like make some time to make it to the meetings, to even go to a prayer meeting, even to go to a Bible study, just enjoy the Lord Jesus with other believers. You know, and this has been like, as a young Christian, it sort of like sparked something in me. Like, this is what I need to do. I have to be with the brothers. I have to pursue the Lord with the brothers in my college years. And one verse that always stands out to me that I always like remember is 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, "But flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And that, I can really testify that that's been my experience. Fleeing youthful lust and just being with the brothers. Amen.
Amen. Hi, my name is Juhi, and I go to Los Angeles City College. And I went to the college training for the first time 2 years ago. I was encouraged by a sister, close sister that I knew. She just said, I'm going. Do you want to go? So I was just like, okay. Like, I don't have anything to do. So. But at first, it was like that, but when I went there, I realized that it really did change my life, and it might change yours too. And, okay. Although I enjoyed every aspect of the college training, today I want to share with you guys about having a personal time with the Lord in the mornings. As a student who grew up in the Christian family, I really enjoyed the Lord in the meetings and meeting with the saints. But it was really hard for me to have a personal time with the Lord, because whenever I heard from elder brothers, they enjoy, like, they say, oh, their personal time with the Lord is so sweet and so rich. But for me, when I woke up early in the morning to touch the Lord, I just felt I was talking by myself, like, I didn't feel anything. And that really like scared me to sometimes have a time with the Lord. But when I went to the college training, there was a morning session where a brother speaks about how to spend time with the Lord in the morning. And one day it'll be just calling on the name of the Lord, and another day would be repenting and confessing, and other day praying and prayer reading and loving the Lord. And one time, after listening to that message, everyone would go out to spend time with the Lord privately. And there's a mountain in the camp, and then I was walking up in the mountain, and I just remember the verse in Matthew where it says Jesus went up to the mountain privately to pray. And I just, like, remembering, I was just calling on his name, wow, this is how Jesus felt when he was going up in the mountain. And it's kind of cold in the morning. I just felt, wow, just like Jesus was person too, so he might have been cold too. And then I was just like, it felt really real to me, like how the Bible says he went up to the mountain. And I was doing the same thing, calling upon his name. And when I was up there, I just spent the whole morning time to just confessing my love to the Lord. I would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And that time, I almost heard Jesus answering. He said, like, I love you too. And that was like my first time that my morning time became a conversation. Before, it was more like me just talking to him. I don't get anything. And I would just look at the time, when is it end? Like, But there, I realized I started conversing with the Lord. I'll tell the Lord, I love you, and he will answer me. And when I felt his love, like, it just became so intimate. And it's like meeting with a boyfriend, like when you have a boyfriend, I didn't have one, but, okay, but when you, like, it's fun to have a lot of friends around when you meet with a boyfriend, but it's more, but another time you want to have a private conversation with your boyfriend because, you know, you have some secrets or you have some, you know, things to tell him privately. And when I realized, when that relationship became so intimate and personal, I couldn't wait to go to bed in the night and then wake up early to meet him. Like, I will enjoy the Lord during the meeting, but I was still longing for the time in the morning because I had things to tell him. And when I came back from the training, I still have, like, up and downs in my morning time, but I've still tasted the sweetness. And I just remember I would be really down, then I would think of it. Remember how you enjoy the Lord there? You remember how you converse with the Lord? And just it's really changed my relationship with the Lord. And I really encourage you guys to come because I know you guys, they all said it changed their life and you think they're just saying it, but it's really changed my life. Amen. Hallelujah for the college training.
Anyone here has a desire to deepen their relationship with the Lord, I hope you would seriously consider paying the price of one week, to go to the college training. It's really filled with many different sessions, some of them focused on ministering the truth, to be constituted with the truth, others focusing on deepening our personal relationship with the Lord, such as the morning time that Juhi spoke about. And many others are even focused on getting built together with many other brothers and sisters whom, honestly, without the college training, we may never cross paths with. Just a few details related to the college training. This summer's West Coast college training will be July 8th through the 14th. July 8th through the 14th. And again, it's in Northern California in the Redwoods, in Occidental. And registration will open sometime around the end of this month. And I strongly encourage you all to not wait. Last year, what happened was it filled up very quickly, and many at the end had to be turned down. There was no room for them to come. So definitely write this into your schedule. Well, first pray. Bring this matter to the Lord. Amen. And if the Lord touches you to take hold of this opportunity and grants you the freedom in your schedule to do so, really encourage you to write this and put this into your schedule that you could go. The Lord says at the end of the Bible, I come quickly. Let's say three times together, come Lord Jesus.
Come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.